If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've relied on Him completely like a child, humbly just believing. If you trusted in Christ, turning from your sin to Jesus for forgiveness, then you have a new citizenship. And the Apostle Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, growing up, I heard the verses that we're going to look at today and kind of scratched my head trying to figure out what exactly constituted being focused on the things of earth. And then conversely, how I would live out being focused on the things of heaven. It seemed like a very foggy request that was open to a lot of interpretation and frankly, kind of hard to pin down.
Well, you know, Dave, it does seem a little fuzzy and open to a lot of interpretation, but it's really not. You know, today we're going to look at, from the Word of God, what constitutes the things that we should be focused on and the things that we should be turning away from and repudiating. Let's turn together in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
They're not the blessed man who would meditate in the Word day and night. They are like the cursed man, the one who will not stand in the judgment, who will be blown away like chaff, Psalm 1. Their continual habitual mindset of a make-believer or a false brethren, although they may say they love Jesus Christ, although they may sing of Jesus Christ, their continual habitual mindset, which I can't see, you can't see, but God sees, is focused on the things of earth. Now, obviously, we as believers can leave our first love in a sense. We can become dulled. We can become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We were never always that way. We did set our mind on the things above when we got saved. We did trust Jesus. We did walk with Him if we were really saved. But we got dulled. We need to confess that and get right with the Lord. You see, Paul makes it clear that those who have been saved set their mind on the things above. And we are to do that. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ. You see, when you trust in Jesus Christ, we die with Him. We are co-crucified with Him, Romans chapter 6. And we are raised with Him. We are in union with Christ. If this is the reality for you, you're a true believer, then keep seeking. Keep on seeking. It's not saying start seeking. Keep on seeking the things above, where Christ is. That's the important part. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. We're going to see that later. For true believers. Well, some might say you're too heavenly minded and no earthly good. Well, if you're a phony baloney heavenly minded, maybe. But if you are truly heavenly minded, you are absolutely earthly good because you are filtering everything through the truth of God in the context of trusting the God of the truth. If you've truly been saved, we are commanded to set our mind on the things above. And how do we do that? Where do we find the things above? It's in the Word of God. That we see the eternal and heavenly realities that we cannot see, feel, or understand apart from the Word of God. Things that the eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but God has revealed to us. He has given them to us in His Word. So then we have the first motivation for mimicking the Apostle Paul, realizing that those who do not walk this way continually habitually are on their way to destruction. Those phony baloney make-believers who have a said relationship but never truly trusted in Jesus, their end is destruction. The first motivation that we shouldn't walk the way they walk, because we're not like them, as we're going to see, because we're in Christ. So my question to you is, where does your mind continually habitually sit? What do you think of? Is it just absorbed with the things of this life alone? When situations arise, circumstances, people, relationships, is it only this way? You need to examine yourself. Have I truly come to faith in Jesus Christ? Because when we receive the Spirit of God, we receive the ability to understand the Word of God and understand the things that are revealed concerning the things above. You see, if your mind is set continually habitually on the flesh and things below, Romans chapter 8, your destiny is a horrifying one. And if you're a believer, this should motivate you to a holy life, what God has saved you from. You see, we seem to point our finger at all the big sins, all that stuff. We don't see the really big sins as not trusting Jesus, but relying on ourselves. That's really sinful. You see, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. You see, if you rely on yourself rather than Jesus, when you came to salvation, you didn't get saved. You got to rely on Him completely. And we are to do that as we walk in our walk. Because if we don't, maybe, just maybe, it's an evidence we don't know Him. So with that in mind, that's the negative rationale for mimicking a life that focuses on Jesus Christ, becoming like Him, pressing forward, not looking back, going towards that upward call of conformity to the image of Christ. And that leads us to our passage here today, where we're going to see the positive one. Remember, I've said a few times, if you listened, pray that we would be encouraged today. Now, if you were here last week, all you heard was walk like that because of the negative part, right? And you just heard that. Here's the positive part, and it is really, really, really great. Look at verse 20. For our citizenship, back in Philippians 3, is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. You see, the Apostle Paul was confident that the true believers, the saints in Philippi, that God would complete the work. And now he's going to talk about the completion of that work. You see, God is going to complete the work that He started. He's going to talk about it. And that should motivate us to walk differently now because of what we will be and who possesses us and where we are citizens of. Notice again in verse 20 it says for. He's explaining. Remember, this whole passage is based on verse 17. Join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For, the negative example, we just saw that. And then here again, for, walk this way, observe them who do, for or because of this. Because, first of all, our citizenship is in heaven. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've relied on Him completely like a child, humbly, just believing. If you trusted in Christ, turning from your sin to Jesus for forgiveness, then you have a new citizenship. And the Apostle Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven. And by contrast, those who set their mind on earthly things, their citizenship is here. And it just goes lower and lower to destruction. But ours is in heaven. Now, some of us might not realize what a powerful statement this is to the Philippian church. You see, the Philippians were Roman citizens. And in chapter 1, verse 27, we see that they were to live, literally, the word was there, as citizens worthy of the gospel. And now we have the exact same Greek word translated citizenship here, but in a verb. It's the word politeo, which we get our word politics. It speaks of public duties required of a member of a body. It speaks of living as a citizen with all the associated responsibilities and privileges. And here in our word, the verb form, poletouma. We get that same word, same variant. And you say, why is this so important? Well, it was well known that the Philippians were proud of their Roman citizenship. You see, Philippi was a Roman colony that had the privilege of Roman citizenship. Let me share a little historical fact about it. One author writes, the city of Philippi was not an ordinary city. It was granted special status by Caesar after the defeat of Antony during the Civil War. After the Battle of Actium, which squelched the rebellion, a large number of soldiers retired to this city, so it was declared to be a Roman colony. This special status evoked a sense of pride among its inhabitants. It was Rome away from Rome, and that pride is seen in Acts chapter 16, verses 20 and 21. They saw themselves as Romans. Rome was their mother, and they never forgot whom they belonged to. They spoke Latin. They wore Roman dress. They called the magistrates by their Latin titles. They were deeply into Roman citizenship and all that it was. And Paul says, we, our citizenship is in heaven. That's our citizenship. We have a heavenly citizenship. And think about all the privileges you have with that. You see, for believers, the earth is not our home. We live here. We're temporal residents. But our citizenship is in heaven. You see, and this needs to be recognized that this is actually emphatic in the Greek. Our citizenship, emphatic, is in heaven. And you could say it this way. Actually, the verb is huparko, which means continually exists. Our citizenship continually exists in heaven. That's what it is. He's reminding these Philippian believers where their true citizenship exists. It exists in heaven. You see, we have an incredible contrast between those of earthly citizenship, make believers destined to destruction, and true believers who are not of this world, but heavenly citizens, destined for, as we will see, the culmination of their salvation, destined for glory. The make believers are effectively enemies of the cross of Christ because they function based on their own desires. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we were all that way. We were all that way. Every single one of us was born as a sinner. Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. There's no relationship between you and God. You're dead to God because of sin, in which you formerly walked, that's your walk, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived, here you go, in the, literally the word is desires, but it's translated lust when it's in a negative context. We lived in the desires of our flesh, or lusts, indulging in the desires of flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even of the rest. That's the way we were. That's those who are below. We live based on our own desires, our emotions. That's the way we live. We allow us to control everything. But when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, things changed. We became born again. We became believers in Jesus Christ. As we trusted in Him, we became new creations in Christ. And our mindset was changed towards sin and towards God. You see, the earthly citizenship is those who are in their sins or have an earthly citizenship, but we have a heavenly citizenship. So why should we be mimicking and imitating the walk of Paul as revealed in Scripture, pressing forward, not looking back, reaching towards the prize, the upward call, being made like Jesus? Another reason, this is not our home. We are heavenly citizens. And it's easy to kind of get endeared towards this place, right? Some of the stuff's pretty nice, right? It's easy to get endeared. But then God reminds us as we see the wickedness around us and the sin that this is not our home. Hebrews chapter 11, turn there. You see, true believers see it this way. Now, you may be dulled and forget. You may be dulled and stop thinking this way, but God's reminding you so that you would think this way again. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the faith chapter. It is the testimony of those who by faith endured to the end. You see, it's by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. That's really important. By faith, he obeyed. He obeyed, going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. We always want to know where we're going, right? He just obeyed God, didn't he? By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. It's the promised land. As in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For, verse 10, he was looking for a city whose foundations and whose architect and builder is God. He had a different perspective. And then look down to verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They confessed the reality of who they really were in Christ. This world is not our home. He says there, for those who say such things make it clear they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking that country which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. If you just desire this place to get better, you're in trouble. This world is corrupted by sin. I hope you desire a better country, because true believers, by faith, do so. We see the example of faith here. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's not ashamed to be called your God. They desire a better country. And it says, for he has prepared a city for them. Tremendous reality. And how does one go from an earthly citizenship to a heavenly citizenship? Through faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, and once we become heavenly citizens, our minds should be thinking differently. The Apostle Peter, as we saw when we went through 1 Peter, continually spoke of those who were suffering as believers as those who were aliens. We hear a lot about illegal aliens these days, right? We hear a lot about aliens, whatever it might be, right? Those who are from a foreign place where they're not from, right? Well, hey, we're legal aliens here, but this is not our home. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, resident aliens. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts or desires which wage war with the soul. When your desires trump his desires, you got a war going on in your soul. And if that's happening with you today, confess, be forgiven, and walk in the context of the peace that Christ gives you. We're to set our mind on the things above. I want to share a few passages. I'll read this one for you, and then we'll turn together to another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says concerning the difficulties that they were going through, for momentary light affliction, 4:17, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, seen it eternally. Far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's what I focus on. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What do you look at? Do you focus on the eternal or the temporal? Yes, the temporal is all around us. It's there every day. We're tempted with the temporal every day. But do you focus on the eternal? Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6 first. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, I'm going to read this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure's here, your heart's here. If your treasure's in heaven, your heart's there. Now, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he said to them, beware and on your guard of every form of greed. For not even what a man has in abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable. The land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It doesn't sound very evil, does it? Well, look at what God says. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Where your heart is where your treasure is. You see, and money's a good indicator of that. Security that comes from it, the security where your heart is. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body, for what you should put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, that they neither sow nor reap. They neither have a storeroom nor a barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil or spin, but I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? Faith is the issue. And do not seek what you should eat, what you should drink, nor keep worrying. For all these things, the nations, the Gentiles, that's non-believers, by the way, of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for His kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen to gladly give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to charity, make purses which have do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our citizenship exists in heaven, if you're a true believer. And therefore, we should be motivated to live differently in this life. To look at the example of the Apostle Paul, who was focused towards glory and the things of Christ rather than the things of earth. And if you're focused this way, you will be absolutely the way the Lord wants you to be in the things of earth. Let me ask you this. Where does your citizenship exist? Is it in heaven or not? Either you're headed for salvation or destruction. And where your mind sets continually, habitually, on a daily basis is an evidence of that. Now notice, he says we are citizens of heaven, believers. But he's also going to say something glorious at this point. Verse 20, back in Philippians chapter 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also, speaking of heaven, by the way, we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what believers do. We eagerly await a Savior. This term eagerly await, apodekomai, speaks of eagerly waiting to welcome, to receive. You know, there are things that we eagerly wait for, and I mentioned them in the beginning. Maybe you eagerly wait to finish school. You eagerly await to graduate. You eagerly await the birth of a child. You eagerly await a marriage. You eagerly await whatever it might be. But here, believers eagerly await to receive a Savior. Look what it says. We eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await for a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's only one Savior, and God, the Son, is our Savior. Just briefly turn to Isaiah 45. In contrast to the idolatry that was going on, the Lord God declares this truth. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announcement this from old? Who has long since declared it? It is not I, the Lord, and there is no other God besides me. A righteous God, a Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and will not turn back, that every knee will bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments we have left in today's broadcast, for that person who is unsure of their citizenship, what would you tell them?
Well, first of all, I'd say this is eternally important. You need to understand and know if you are a citizen of heaven or not. And how is it that we can know? The reality is that God's word lays forth an understanding of who is a citizen of heaven and who isn't. You see, if you have repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord, the God who came to earth and died for your sins and rose from the dead, if you've truly done that, you're saved. And that's going to manifest in a changed life.
but maybe you realize your life hasn't changed, and maybe you really haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I would encourage you today to come before the Lord, acknowledge your sin, and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and He will save you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.